You understand that there are action steps to revival. There are action steps. Say it with me. There are action steps to revival. How many want to see revival break out all across the land? Want to see revival through the Olympic Peninsula. I want to see the Holy Spirit move supernaturally across the Kitsap Peninsula, across Washington State, across our nation. The Bible declares He'll fill this earth with His glory as the waters cover the sea. How many want to participate? Yes. Lord, use me. I don't want to just hear the report. Use me.
Yes.
Action steps to revival. One of the steps we're going to take this morning sounds a lot like this. What was that? Go ahead, play it again. They're getting into it now. Go ahead. Active sonar creates a pulse of sound that's called a ping. And then it listens for reflections or the echo of the pulse. The pulse of the sound is generally created electronically using a sonar projector consisting of a signal generator. There's active sonar, there's passive sonar. Active sonar is a lot more noisy, and so if you're on board a vessel that's in military, you don't want to be noisy. And so lots of times the more expensive, that which is deep under, is the passive sonar. But there was a story yesterday of a Chinese vessel of the Navy hearing a ping in the Indian Ocean, looking for the black box for the missing flight from Malaysia. And then there was a story of a second ping that was overheard. And I've heard tell there's now even been a third ping that's been heard. Now, people are rushing to the sites of the ping, and others are not wanting people to jump to conclusions. But the way these pings are out in the deep water seas, they are at a certain frequency that others in the ocean or other animals, mammals, and other things in the ocean don't generate that same kind of sound. And this ping generated the kind of sound that is generated by something we're looking for, like the airplane. It was said we're dealing in very deep water. We're dealing with an environment where sometimes you get false indications, and again, the pulse signal. And now the British ship called HMS Echo, which is fitted with sophisticated sound locating equipment, is again rushing to that area. The families are deeply grieved and need closure. The beacons in the black box, you've heard so much about the black box, they emit pings. So they can be more easily found, but the batteries only last for about what? A month. There are a lot of clicks, buzzes, sounds in the ocean, but again, you gotta have to get pretty close, like within 4 miles or so of the emission of these noises. And it's been called, what's happening right now has been called the most difficult search in human history. Up to 12 military and civilian planes and 13 ships took part in the search Sunday. That's, you know, they're ahead of us, right? Totaling 216,000 square kilometers, 83,400 square miles. It's an active search going on as we speak. Would you play the sound again, please? Sonar gives the ability to see beyond what is natural. And what is the ability to see beyond what is natural called? What's another word for it?
Faith.
Faith? How about supernatural? Supernatural. Did you know, just a little aside in the study, that for eons and eons, of course, dolphins and bats have used a sound for communication and object detection. They use this kind of a sonar, if you will. But the human use in water was initially recorded by Leonardo da Vinci. in 1490. Guy just about invented almost everything, didn't he? It was a tube inserted into water, and it was said to try to detect whether or not he could hear vessels by placing an ear down onto the tube. Man looks to live beyond his borders, don't we? That's why we had this space shuttle. That's why we, you know, went to the moon, and some are wanting to go to Mars, or we go down under the water. We go as far and as fast as we can, and if we don't have goals and vision, we begin to live casually. Pastor Carl said a statement a long time ago. Read it with me, please. Casual Christians may become Christian casualties. And you can leave the word may out. Say it with me again. Casual Christians become Christian casualties. Proverbs 29, verse 18. I'm going to have a section of scripture that I want you to turn to this morning to you so you see where we're going. But I want to read this one, and it's up here in many translations. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. That word is para in the Hebrew, and it means they get loosened. They get exposed. They get dismissive. They go back. Without a vision, something inside, something beyond, something more than what we have, they turn around and go back. Out of the New King James and NIV, it says, where there's no revelation, the people, say it with me, please, cast off restraint. The New American Standard, where there's no vision, the people are unrestrained. Where people in the New Living do not accept divine guidance, they what? Have you seen the news about spring break? You know, the big thing, you know, running wild and all sorts of stuff. And it's getting more pronounced and more pronounced. And then there's the message. I want you to read it all over this with me. Read this with me. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Isn't that powerful? Now, I got to tell you, too often the temptation is to settle back, to pare back our vision, to live within reality. We get pragmatic. Rather than live by faith, it was something I was sharing with our team about. And I saw, wait a minute, I don't want to settle back on the vision God has given us just because what I see in reality doesn't get there. You've got to live beyond what you see. We have to live by faith in someone supernatural. His name is Jesus. How many know God's got a fantastic plan? Turn to each other and say, God's got a plan for your life. Some of you look at me and go, come on. Oh, God's got a plan for your life. And God's got something for you to do. You say, I've been there, done that. I don't need to do that anymore. Guess what? Tell me in the Bible, where is it that says, and you get to a certain age and you get to say, I'm sorry, I'm done obeying. Thank you. Jesus, been there, done that. Are you telling me that's not in there? We're going to live beyond. We're going to keep going. We're going to look for what he wants to do. All right. Abraham, the father of our faith. All right. Hebrews chapter 11. Would you turn to Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter 11. Go ahead and turn to it. I'm only going to give the scripture reference up here. I'm not going to put all those verses on there. Go toward the end of your Bible. It's just a few books prior to the last book of Revelation. Go back a few chapters or books, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible, others around you will be happy to get one for you. We have Bibles available. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 13, I'm going to refer to this morning. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 13. And then you can refer to them. I'd like you to see them in your own Bible. All right, everybody there? Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 13. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. How many always know perfectly everywhere you're headed? How many knew when you were a kid exactly what you'd be doing at this stage of your life? Come on, come on, let's see the show of hands. No? How many know what you're going to do this afternoon? Okay, not many of you, I can see that. Okay, I see some of you saying they're going to nap. Just don't start now. Come on, turn to each other and say, don't start now. All right. He went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, verse 9, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. I'm reading from the New King James primarily here. Dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he waited for the city which has foundations. King James says, he looked for a city. New Living says, he was constantly looking forward to a city. Say that with me. Constantly looking forward to the city. The NIV, the New American Standard, and the New International Version. He was looking forward to the city, the message. He was keeping his eye on an unseen city. He was keeping his eye on an unseen city. The city, verse 10 tells us, in your Bible and in mine, the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. She bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. That's a miracle. Abram, before he became Abraham, was father of a multitude. Abraham means father of a multitude. God changes his name. He's given him a promise. And multitudes, years go by and years go by. There ain't no kid. And he goes up and they say, hi, my name's Bob. What's your name? My name's Abraham. Well, let's see the father of the multitude. Let's see the multitude. Where are they? I don't have any kids. So he's got a vision that beats up his reality. He's got a vision that drives and impacts his living where he is right now. Pragmatism. Reality says, oh, my neighbors aren't going to respond. My family's not going to respond. I've prayed for them for years. Nothing's happening. We keep praying about revival. Pastor Kev stands up there in his cowboy boots and shouts about revival. Come on. Pragmatism can limit the vision. But we need to be driven, held in the grip of Jesus and his plan. Not what is my plan, what is his plan? What is it he wants to do? How many understand God's got a lot left to do? How many understand you got people who live next to you and up and down your streets and there are schools where there needs to be revival? Sam, does revival need to happen in your school? Yeah, definitely. Definitely. How about the grade schools, junior highs, high schools? How about the colleges? How about the hospitals, doctor's offices? How about our homes and our neighbors' homes, cul-de-sacs and communities that need Jesus Christ? How many want to see revival be poured out in our region? Oh, God. Abraham said, okay, I receive your name. I'm going to keep moving because I haven't seen that city yet whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking forward. I keep looking. I keep moving for the city. The Bible tells us we labor, love, and work to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. But sometimes we understand we get weary in the trenches. That's where there's a Bible verse that says, don't be weary in well-doing. We gather like this, you know, to encourage each other. You know what Sunday morning is supposed to be, right? It's a celebration in the presence of God. We strengthen one another. We put courage in one another. What does encouragement mean? Putting courage in. We put courage in each other. And you can see the placard, if you will, over the door on the way out. Now entering the mission field. Because you learn, you grow, you're strengthened, you're encouraged, and you say, okay, now let's go out and get them. Let's go live this thing. Let's go help. Let's go love. Let's go live like Jesus lives. Let's go love like Jesus loves. Let's show them something different than what they see every day. How many know the government doesn't have your answer? Come on, church. How many know it's not what you're going to get in school? It's not what you're going to get in the government. It's not what you're going to get down the street. It's not what you're going to get in witchcraft. It's not what you're going to get in New Age. It's not what you're going to get in the movies. It's not what you're going to get on TV. The only answer is Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Lamb of Glory. He is the answer. Someone say amen. Go out into the mission field and live this thing, because the world is waiting to see who really believes this. Who really thinks Jesus is all that hot? I said, who really believes Jesus is all that hot? thought I was just being rhetorical. We believe this thing. We're crazy. I know. You're going to go to church with those crazy people? Yeah, because they encourage me. Listen, we got real life to live and real hurting people. Our friend Dan Halloran and his wife, we prayed for them last week and we gave them a card, and George and Linda took a card to them. We had understood. They found the body of his daughter. Turns out they haven't found that body. Turns out here's a man who over his daughter was in Oso. Listen, you guys. Are you ready? What if the conditions of Oso were here and happened here this week? Do you know how to share Jesus with your neighbors? Give them hope? Roll your sleeves up? Of course we can roll our sleeves up and look for people and help. But I'm praying that God, somehow through it all, will get glory.
Yes.
That people will see Jesus loves them through the midst of this. And you guys, this is the kind of time people don't know how that could be. But Jesus is still good. And he still loves. He still cares. We believe it, don't we?
Yes.
There's a city to come. And Abraham kept moving forward. And we need to lift our vision to keep moving forward. And he didn't know where he was going, but you could hear him say, I'll know it when I see it. I'll know it when I see it. A strong foundation. And he kept taking action steps and kept moving. And when he got to Canaan, he wasn't home. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's the start. So then he begins to transform. How many know we're not there yet? Just like Pastor Sherry said in her opening. How many in this room? Let me see the show of hands. You're perfect and you know you are. Because you can come up and finish the sermon. We know we need him. We know he's still changing. He's still growing. There's some place where we're going. I remember coming in the ferry on just a glorious, beautiful, sunshiny day. And you may not know me about this. I shared this a few times, but this is the way I'm wired, okay? I go on the ferry, and I can't sit in the back of the ferry. I got to go in the front. And if it's a sunny day, I got to almost hang out over the front railing. I feel like I want to touch the dolphins. And we were coming back. I was coming back over, and I was nearly hanging over the railing, and I said, God, what is it you want to do? It's one of those moments where, why am I here? I don't want to just take up space. and the sun was glistering on the Olympics and radiating off the water. And he said, I want you to help reach the Olympic Peninsula, the Kitsap Peninsula. I want you to help transform a region for Jesus. And I said, oh God, with every breath I've got, that's what I want to do. I'll do it, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And I don't believe we're there yet. But you know what? We got people who come here from Port Townsend and Port Hadlock and Port Irondale and Port Ludlow and Port Squim and Port Angeles. And you know what? We got people resonating because you hear the ping of the Word of God in your spirits and coming from Paul's Bow and coming from, because there's something that says, I want to see what Jesus is doing. I want to be a part of what Jesus is doing. Oh, God, pour out your spirit. Is that what's in your heart this morning, church? Oh, God, pour out your spirit. Would you play that ping again for me, please? Just like the Word of God going out saying, Jesus saying, who's listening? Are you there? Are you resonating? Are you saying, okay, God, yes, God, say it with me, yes, God, yes, God. We're going to have to step out of the boat if we're going to reach some people. Step off the safety of shore if we're going to help reach some people. Next point. Thank you. Kingdom living, kingdom loving, kingdom giving. Life is bigger than us. Life is bigger than my problems. Jesus has us in the midst of a needy people. Some don't think so. Some don't know they're needy. Do you live next to anybody like that? You live with anybody like that? Don't punch your neighbor. The people who need Jesus. People who need revival. And we want the presence of God. And it's time we get moving on for it. Keep seeing, keep singing, keep rejoicing, keep preaching, keep believing, keep trusting God to do something fresh. God is sending out His Word like a sonar ping, and we are the ones who are responding and resonating back saying, I hear it, Lord, I'm here, here I am, send me, use me. Oh God, I say yes to You. Psalm 107, verse 20, He sent His Word and healed them. And delivered them. You go to the New Testament, there's a verse that says, how can they hear unless there be a what? Preacher. Lest they be told. So, Lord, here I am. Use me. It's, you know, the old adage, the old phrase is, Lord, here I am. Send my sister. No, Lord, here I am. Use me. Ezekiel, watch this. Very important. Ezekiel 47, verse 9. I'll have it in two translations. And it shall be that everything that moves, wherever the rivers go, will what?
Live.
There'll be a very great multitude of fish. There'll be a lot of fishes because these waters go there. For they will be, what is it? Come on, boom it out. Healed, and say it with me, everything will live wherever the river goes. Where the presence of God goes. In you, through you, when you go to the grocery store, when you go to your relative's house, they might be all divided among themselves, but when you walk in the room, the presence of Jesus walks in the room. The river of God arrives when you walk in the room, if it's not there already in someone else. But the river of God begins to flow, and you can begin to, you can pray and keep praying and believe and keep believing and keep reaching out, just like washing their feet with the river of God, because everything will live wherever the river goes. Let's see it in a different version out of the message. Wherever the river flows, say it with me, life will flourish. Great schools of fish, because the river is turning the salt sea into fresh water. The salt sea, that brackish thing that brings death, you can't drink that and live. But God says, my river, the river of God, turns it into fresh life that can be drunk and people can live. Say it with me, where the river flows, life. There's a reason for living, and it's bigger than just us and surviving and daily living. Jesus has something for each of us to do. People all around us need forgiveness for sins, weights off their shoulder, a joyful purpose for living. Church, let's run after Jesus. Go out into the mission field and show them Jesus. Bring them life. He's looking for a people who live like Jesus. Kingdom living. Who know and think like Him and act like Him and understand that I need to live this thing day by day, and Lord, keep working with me to change me so I do. And you know, you know what it's like, don't you? What you used to be able to watch, you turn on TV, maybe you invite in the neighbors for this favorite show, and all of a sudden it's awful. And you go, ooh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have invited you here for this. I used to be able to watch that 6 months ago. Who changed? The Holy Spirit keeps changing us. He keeps working with us. And maybe that story we thought was really funny a year or two ago, all of a sudden you go, you know, that's not so funny. A people who live like Jesus, a people who love like Jesus, demonstrating Jesus in every realm of life. When you go to the grocery store with family, friends, when you're on the job, when you just keep moving forward, even when you're rejected, love like Jesus, the agape love of God. How many are glad that God keeps moving to you and to me, even when we're unlovely? Even when we're unlovable, our God loves us. And the people who give like Jesus. Kingdom giving. Live like Jesus. Love like Jesus. And give like Jesus. The people who look for opportunity to give Him away to those who need Him. Church, let's lift our vision higher. Let's lift our vision higher. Jesus is more than daily bread and daily living. More than coming to church for some songs and going out and eating and doing the same thing again next week. That's good. That's all fun. But it's higher and there's more. What is your living legacy? Not what they're going to put on the stone someday, but what's your living legacy now? How are we changing our families, our communities, our surroundings, our culture right now? In Portland, you heard it referred to, thousands of people meeting under the bridges who are homeless. The guy began just by hearing God say to him, I want you to go downtown into this horrible city square area, sit down by the fountain, and I want you to start just washing people's feet. He goes, what? First guy who came up to him wasn't somebody like you who had his feet clean. He had to just peel off the sock, but he was Jesus to that man as he obeyed. And now there are thousands down there. That may not be what we're called to do here, but what are we called to do? What are you called to do? What can you do where you live? If something happened to you or to this church tomorrow, whether or not people all around us ever desired to attend GCC or even know anything about it, would others know we've been here? Are we salt and light in the demonstration of Jesus to them? It's one thing to preach to someone far or to get on the phone and call a long distance. It's another thing to be living Jesus with our neighbor today. Let's live it to the full. Let's give Jesus everything. Come on, say it with me. I want to give Jesus everything. Live fully for him. Now, we don't always see the end result of our faith, like verse 13 tells us of Hebrews 11. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. He was talking about the heroes. We preached about that many weeks, about the heroes in the hall of faith. But having seen them afar off, just like Abraham saw the city afar off, they were assured of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Are you ready for an action step?
Yes.
Come on, are you ready for an action step?
Yes.
Okay, let's try that action step again. You're doing great. I didn't tell him ahead of time. I sent this thing to him at midnight last night. Can we work do on this morning? Dan looks at me this morning. What is it you want to do? Okay, well, you know, we'll do this. And if it doesn't work, no problem. Okay, that's great. That's great. Yeah, go ahead, everybody with me. One, two, three. Ping! Very good. All right. I'm going to do something tangible this morning. I'm going to have a few of you hand something out, but I'm not going to have you do it just yet, because if I hand this out to you, you won't listen to me the next 5 minutes. How many want to take a very simple action step? Come on. Let's see the show of hands. You're looking at me going, oh, man. He's tricking us this morning. I'm going to have a simple assignment for you. I'm actually going to ask you to fill something out, rip off a bottom half of the back page and turn it in, but it's something really simple. Listen, church, if we're going to really get this job done for Jesus, I'm going to start with a really simple action step, something each of us can do. It's a four-letter word, and it's not D-O-R-K for me, okay? It's a four-letter word. It's called pray.
Yes.
How many can pray?
You bet.
Even a few minutes a day, you can pray. Now, some of you have living burdens. For your school, for classmates, for the hospital. How about sheriff's department or first responders, the fire? How about your neighbor?
Yes.
You can spend a few minutes a day, even if it's only one person. Some of you can get in your car and drive around your block, your cul-de-sac, your community. Some of you can drive around the Olympic Peninsula. When you drive down to Costco, whether Squim or down in Silverdale, you can drive and you can trust God. And believe God and pray and intercede. Church, prayer moves the hand that moves the world. And I believe if we cooperate with God, we can accomplish an action step. I want to do something in this church. I want us whoever wants to become a strategic prayer partner. Look at me. Say, I will be a strategic Let's try that again. A strategic prayer partner. Okay, just look at me and say, okay, I'll pray. Simple. I'm not talking about groaning on your knees for 45 minutes a day, although I encourage you to move in that direction as we pray. People can do that. Some have that discipline, that spiritual discipline. Some of you don't feel you're called. I'm just talking about a few minutes a day. But if we want to see God bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, I'm serious. If we want to see God move in our communities, if we want to see revival, if we want to see people delivered and set free in Jesus, then each of us can pray. Choose your community that you're from, your block, your neighborhood. I'm asking you this morning, church, Grace Christian Center, to take an action step with me and step up to the plate and say, Pastor Kev, I will pray. I will be a strategic prayer partner. I can do it. I've got something on my heart this morning. It's been said, I'm going to repeat the phrase, prayer moves the hand that moves the world. The first sign of revival, it said this, Matthew Henry declared, when God intends great mercy for His people, the first thing He does is set them a-praying. Hallelujah. Mary, Queen of Scots, said the only thing she was fearful of was John Knox's prayers. If you follow the history, you can do a whole bunch of history. It was a radical thing. John Knox was not afraid of man or beast. And he stood and declared the power of the Word of God. He may not have done some things exactly like we would do, but it doesn't matter. He was a bold man of God and changed a nation. I'm going to ask you to pick a strategic prayer target. Someone. Someplace. Something for which you are burdened and can spend a few minutes every day in prayer. I'm going to ask you now if I could get some help passing these out. We're going to go over this page together, and we'll be done in just a few minutes. Just a few minutes. But I believe we can cooperate with God and see powerful things happen. How many want to cooperate with God? Let's see the show of hands. Amen. Roxanne, would you give me that ping one more time, please? Boy, God's calling. I'll go over this with you. We'll start at page one. Now, I'll get to explaining about page two in a moment, but let's start on page one. Strategic prayer partners. What are the kinds of things that we do? What are we looking for? What are we going to ask you to do? And you look at me and go, Pastor Kev, I'm not religious. I don't pray a lot. That's all right. You can do this. 60 seconds, 3 minutes, 5 minutes a day. I'm sure you can come up with something for a person or a place about which you care. Number one, what do they do? Cooperate with the Holy Spirit to help usher in revival, to see people saved, thank you, brother, and established in Jesus and His church. Number two, what do strategic prayer partners do? Unlock and release the Holy Spirit's deliverance to regions, communities, and the people in our sphere of influence, be it family, friends, acquaintances, co-workers, people you don't know. How many know you've got a sphere of influence? Come on, you understand that? You've got a circle of people around you that you know, that I don't know, your neighbor doesn't know, you know them. And you've got the opportunity to make inroads into their heart and life. What I'm asking you to do is love these people. I'm not asking you to drive them down and say, you're my prayer target. That's not what I'm doing. But I'm talking about loving these people. And when you're on your own and you're kneeling in bed at night or your head hits the pillow or you get up in the morning and you pray and thank God for a new day, you can spend a few moments in prayer, praying for your family, praying for your friends, praying for people all around you. Because we believe God answers prayer. Someone say amen. You can unlock and release the Spirit's deliverance in our spheres of influence. Number three, you can stand with your leadership team to birth, sustain, and maintain the presence and power of Jesus and His Spirit in our region. I'm going to specifically ask you to step up and pray even more for the GCC pastors on a consistent and regular basis, that we're sensitive to the Spirit of God and we guide and lead us in the way that Jesus would take Grace Christian Center. There's this thing called strategic mapping. Strategic mapping. What are we going to do? Strategic prayer partners will follow the Spirit's prompting to come to Jesus with passion, burden, and pray focused prayers on a particular burden or person or location. There's power in strategic prayer. One can envision lights over communities, like tongues of fire from the Scriptures appeared on the heads of those in Acts chapter 2 when they were baptized in the Spirit. And so you can see that as you're praying in your mind's eyes, as you're praying for people, and see the light of Jesus upon them, the glory of God break free in their lives and set them free. Even for a few minutes, praying for the specific burden Jesus has given you. Number three, daily strategic prayer for individuals or for targeted areas will result in the moving of God's presence. A sense of neediness. How many know our region needs to have a sense of neediness? Now I say that carefully. Some people are real needy with a felt need. They know they need food. They know they need money. But how many know there needs to be a whole breaking free in a spirit for neediness for God? And that's where it all begins. Hey, I came to Jesus because I needed him. How about you? I wasn't a bank robber, but you know, I see some of you looking like, I still wonder what you did. Thank God it's under the blood. I forget. Strategic prayer for individuals or targeted areas, neediness, hunger that stirs people to Jesus, his word, and his church. At GCC, we believe God is ready and desiring to show his love and presence, to move in fresh waves of his presence. We choose to do our part to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. All right, so strategic mapping, easy for me to say. Strategic planning and strategy execution. Strategic prayer partners, keep it simple. It's not our works, our efforts, our struggles to move God's hand. It's our cooperation with him, following the prompting of his Spirit. Strategic prayer partners are willing to take even a few minutes a day. Do you see how much I've emphasized that? To pray focused prayer for the burden Jesus has given them. Let's go to page 2. Strategic prayer partners are willing to obey the promptings of the Lord. Take the presence of Jesus to the streets, if you will. Strategic prayer journeys, walks, parades, drives on city streets, around communities, up and down cul-de-sacs, throughout the region, praying and believing Jesus to move powerfully in and on those for whom they are in prayer. For instance, while one is driving to a store, business to shop, going to a doctor's office, one can engage in strategic prayer and be edified while doing so. Strategic prayer partners are those who believe Jesus hears our prayers, cares even more than we do for those for whom we're praying, and who are willing to show their love by praying daily. It's not too hard, church. It's easy to do. I'm asking you to take a step with me this morning, an action step, to become a strategic prayer partner. I'm ready to pray. Say it with me. I'm ready to pray. I'm willing to pray. I choose to become a strategic prayer partner and pray. Now, what I want you to do, you can just fold this little thing at the dotted line there, and if you crease it, it becomes very easy to tear. But what I'd like you to do is fill this out, and I'd like you to mark those boxes, and I want you to write down, you don't have to be super specific, but what's the area about which you're going to pray? And then I want you to go ahead and put this in the offering box, give it to Pastor Sherry, put it up here on the platform. The reason we want these and your email is because about every month or so, 3 or 4 weeks, we want to send an email to you and keep you encouraged in that prayer activity. And maybe if there's something we've heard that's come into our understanding about something the Lord is doing, we can send that to you just as a quick email. But we are really looking for prayers who are willing to stand in the gap and be like Jesus to our region. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you willing?
Yes.
Do you choose it?
Yes.
Amen. Take a moment and fill this out if you would, please, and then we'll close. I want to thank you for being here this morning. I mean it. I want to thank you for being here. You're here because you're hungry for the Lord. And Jesus wants to do something in you, through you, with you. And God wants to move. I'm convinced of it. God wants to move in fresh ways. And I want to be a part. How about you? Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you. Be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I urge you to do so. We'll be honored to pray for you. If you need healing in your body, we'll be honored to pray for you. Go, prayer warriors, strategic prayer partners. Go in the strength of the Lord. And let's join in together believing God for an outpouring of his presence in fresh ways. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. Be released in the presence of the Lord.